Everybody, we're going to start our service this morning by singing the first Noel. You may stay in your seats, because we're not going to meet and greet. We'll do that later. The first Noel.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King.
Announcements that are in your bulletin. There will be a special call business meeting to vote on the 2014 budget next Sunday after service. And be aware of that, please. Women's Missionary Union will visit the Rinaldi Convalescent Hospital on Thursday, December 19th at 10 a.m. WU will meet for lunch on Saturday, December 21st at 10 a.m. in Fellowship Hall. All women are welcome. A copy of the church's financial position is out in the foyer. It's available there. And we are still praying and have a need of a teacher for youth and the Bible study. And so we need to continue to pray for that. And we are in the process of updating our church phone directory. If your address or phone or email has changed, please let Jody know. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come this morning into your house with great joy in our hearts because this is the season we celebrate the coming, the first advent of Christ into the world. Father, it's a time of joy and celebration, and that's what we have come here this morning to do. And Father, we just ask that you be with us as we do that. We pray for those who are leading us in music. Just bless them as they do so. We pray for ourselves, Father, that these songs would be so meaningful to us this morning because they tell the story of that wonderful, wonderful event so long ago, but has meaning and is necessary for us this very day. Father, we are so grateful for the first Advent. We are so grateful for the Incarnation. It is critical to our faith, and it helps us understand, Father, the kind of God that you are, and all that you've done for us. And that gives us a pause for rejoicing and praise. And may we do that this morning in honor of you and to glorify you as we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. For on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices on earth. Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, night, holy night, when Christ was born. Oh,
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him.
Holy night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same reason, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth, goodwill toward men."
Sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain. your joyous strains prolong. What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song.
Gloria in itself is Deo.
Whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, our newborn King.
Gloria in excelsis is Deo.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song. Word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory. Come, our great Messiah, come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation for men as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory.
for this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and is still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man?
Oh,
Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and who has called her barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary, we don't really know her exact age. We don't know how old she was. We know from that time and that era that women were married quite young. So possibly she was in her teens, a very young woman. She lived in a village. She was a village girl. And the village she lived in, Nazareth, was on the backside of nowhere, not very known for anything. But yet, she was going to be the person that God would select. Last Sunday, we talked about the kinsman redeemer, and how this line of David would end 970 years previously because of the death of Naomi's husband and her two sons. But we understand that God redeemed that line through a woman who was not an Israelite, but was a Moabite. And so now, 970 years later, here we are in this town, in this village called Nazareth. And Mary, this young girl, this young village girl who lived in this village, it was a place that was difficult. Her days were filled with just trying to survive from one day to the next. More than likely, Mary never traveled any further than 15 miles from her village, except for the times when her family went to Jerusalem for the various festivals of the Jewish people. And so here she was, and all of a sudden, standing before her was Gabriel. There's only two angels in the Bible that are mentioned by name, Gabriel and Michael. And this is one of them. And I don't know what Gabriel would look like. I don't know if he appeared before me. But I can't imagine a young girl and this being standing before her. And no wonder the scripture said that she was afraid. And why wouldn't she be? So the scripture makes emphatic the point that Mary was a virgin. She had no relation with any man, but yet she was engaged to a man of the house of David, continuing this line that was so important. One line, one specific line, one specific genealogy that carried from the beginning to this point in time in history. And even though the presence of the angel was disturbing, what was even more perplexing to Mary was the greeting. And the greeting was, "Mary, hail favored one, the Lord is with you." The root word of this word means rejoice and be glad. The greeting was a meaning of rejoicing over something. It was an unusual greeting, not normally heard in the course in that time and in that culture. The greeting was normally shalom, peace, which meant peace and wholeness. So this greeting was very different, very unique, just to Mary. And the greeting also included the word favor, which meant a sign of favor, a gracious deed or gift. So what Mary heard was, "Rejoice, Mary, as you receive God's gracious gift." Now, this is what made Mary very troubled, very perplexed. What kind of gift would God give her? Who was she? And why was she selected to receive a gift from God? A gracious gift, a gift of grace and wonder. What did this mean? And what did she understand about what she had just been told and this what she would receive? The messenger from God, Gabriel, understood her confusion and said to her, "Do not be afraid." And he told her that she should not be afraid to receive God's gift, because God was with her. It was a promise to her. What better place and what better circumstance to have than to have God with us? Not only should we not be afraid, but we should rejoice in that truth and in that reality. So God came to this young woman, this young virgin, this young teenage girl, and he told her she was most favored of God. And then the angel began to explain to her what exactly God was going to do. And what he said to her, that this child that would be in her womb would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David. What an excellent example or explanation of the incarnation. He would be both divine, he would be from the Most High, and he would be human in the line of David. And God would give him the throne of David. And so we understand he is royalty, both in the heavenlies and here on earth. What an amazing statement he just made to this teenage girl about the baby that would be in her womb. About this whole concept of the incarnation, God becoming man. And this young woman was being shared, that she was receiving these words of what God was going to do in her life, her young life. It also tells us the reality of what God was doing and how he's going about it. Salvation would have to be both physical and spiritual. We have to understand that what God was doing and why he did it the way in which he did, because he was going to save humanity through the birth of this child, both physically and spiritually. For you and I to explain the incarnation to someone who understands Christmas only as Santa Claus, gift-giving, and all the entertainment we see during this time associated with what we call Christmas, to be able to understand and explain to someone the incarnation, what God did that very day, is really almost impossible. How can you understand that? How can you understand that in your mind of what their angel Gabriel just shared with Mary? And then this woman, this young woman, just could not fathom how this could happen. She said, how can this happen to me? I'm a young woman who has never been with a man. How in the world can I conceive a child? And then the angel Gabriel said, your cousin, Elizabeth, who was barren and who is old age, beyond childbearing years, is 6 months pregnant. And nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. But yet, we understand that even with this, Mary was troubled. Mary's concern was not so much of who the child would be, but how she would become pregnant, because she had never been with a man. It was physically impossible, and it is. The incarnation was both natural and supernatural, both of this earth and not of this earth. The angel said that it would have a supernatural experience, both with the Holy Spirit and as a result of the power of God. The supernatural will meet the natural, resulting in the Son of the Highest of the Most High. This is why we call this baby the Son of God. Boy, that's a lot for a teenage girl to understand, isn't it? To be able to comprehend, to be able to take it all in that given moment. Yet, Mary did not understand really that in its entirety. How could she? But her concern was that she was going to become with child. The word pregnant in the text means to imprison. In other words, what it's saying, the child in the womb is imprisoned in the womb. And so for Mary, that was her concern. That was her primary concern, and that was her only concern, because she was going to experience something and she would have this incomprehensible responsibility for this life in her. That was Mary's concern. That's what she was worried about. That's what she was concerned about. A simple concern of a mother, of the womb, of the life that would be born in her. How could she respond? And what could she say to such a responsibility that has been placed on her in her young life? What she did understand and what she did say, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be done to me according to your word. And he departed. That's all she did understand. Just simply to be obedient to the word of God. To what she just heard, that's all she could, and that's the only way she can respond. So when we talk about the incarnation, when we talk about what God did in the life of this young woman, we can talk about it theologically, we can talk about it in a lot of different ways, but to be honest, we're not able to explain it. We know it happened. If it didn't happen, none of us would be here at this moment. If it didn't happen, we would not be celebrating this wonderful time of the year. If it did not happen, then we would all be lost. But this is what happened. And it's the marvelous, wonderful story of Christmas. How God intervened in the affairs of men with this young woman, and brought into her this child that was born of God, and that's why he would be called the Son of God. But yet he was human, and yet he was divine. Yet he was man, but yet he was God. How can that be? It was, and it is. And we rejoice in that, just as the angel Gabriel shared with Mary. Rejoice because you are going to receive a gracious gift from God. And we have. And we have. These are the songs that we've just sung. As we sing about this gracious God gift that God has given to all of us, going back to this young woman. We rejoice and we praise God for what all He's done in our world, in our lives. And we're thankful today. So this is the time of rejoicing, not because we get to do all the things of Christmas, not because we go shopping for gifts and all this. The gift has been given. And we have received the gift. And we have opportunity to rejoice in that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the gift, the gracious gift of the child that was born to this young woman, Mary. The child that would be born would be the Son of the Most High. He would be conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And all the authority of the world would rest upon Him. And He would assume His throne of His father David, but also He had been on His throne in the heaven. And He left that throne to come here to be born of a woman. Father, we're so grateful this morning for that message and for that story. And for what we're doing here today as we celebrate this event. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you feel like you need to respond this morning in any way, this is your opportunity to respond to God's gracious gift given to you.
Let's stand then as we sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." I'll bet you've never sung this as an invitation before, but the message is the same. Come and trust in Jesus.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Please, we're going to have our offering at this time. So everybody have a seat for just a moment.
Thank you, Lord, for giving Jesus to us to save us from our
Let's all stand now for the benediction, Brother Pastor. Let me invite you to sing with us, Go Tell It on the Mountain. With all the foolishness that's going on this year, if I forgot this hat. However it goes, tell somebody about Jesus, would you please? Here we go.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you.